Welcome to Dear Runner Bod, the pod dedicated to helping you embrace your runner's body. I'm Serena Marie RD, a registered dietitian and body image coach who wants you to stop dieting and start fueling the athlete within. While I am a medical professional, the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure. Now, let's start rewriting your body's story. Hello, we are talking about calorie tracking today, macro tracking today, tracking food, and whether that has a place for you. And before we dive into this conversation, because I'm sure this is something that you have tried in the past or you've thought about trying again, I wanted to dive into what is usually our review of the week. However, there are no new reviews of the week, which is really sad. So if you are somebody who enjoys the podcast and you have not left a review yet, please, rush on over to Apple Podcasts, scroll down, click 5 stars, write a few sentences. Not only is it going to help spread awareness for the podcast, but it also gives you the chance to win a free masterclass. These masterclasses are really valuable. They're not just like a 3-step guide to how to eat more vegetables or something. These are like particularly life-changing transformative masterclasses that you can get totally for free simply by entering a review of the week. As you can tell, it is a very high likelihood you will win. We have none this week, so it could have been you. So get your butt over to Apple Podcasts, scroll down, leave a review, and that's going to help more people spread the word about the podcast and help the podcast gain popularity. So it means a lot to me, and it'll mean a lot to the running community. Okay, but before we dive in to today's topic about calorie tracking, I kind of want to just warn you that potentially if you're somebody who's still in the middle of calorie tracking or macro tracking and you're kind of looking for a reason to keep doing it, I don't know, today's conversation maybe could be a little bit triggering because we are going to talk about some of the pros. And I know sometimes when we're really stuck in the habit of tracking, our brain is literally looking for reasons to defend our choice. And so I don't want to give you some ammo today. So maybe skip this episode, go listen to a different episode, because taking a break from tracking, if you've been tracking constantly, is definitely needed. Like, I don't even want you thinking about continuing. You need to stop. But today's conversation is really for those of us who have been eating intuitively, haven't been tracking anything, and we maybe are getting curious about, like, am I eating enough? Like, what are the questions we can ask ourselves to kind of think about? How do I know whether kind of looking into my macros or my calories, whether that would be helpful for me. Okay, so the first thing I want to say as a dietitian who went to 2 Ivy League schools, who has been practicing for a long time, is that when you go to Google and you type in like calorie counting equation, or you use MyFitnessPal, whatever it may be, and you're trying to track your calories, you're trying to count your calories, and they ask you, you know, what is your height? What is your weight? What is your age? What is your activity level? And you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, I'm a type A runner. I love data. I love numbers. I love black and white thinking. I love perfectionism. And you're typing it into that equation, and you just feel so gratified because you got a number. And that number is like, you know, 3,021 or 2,142 or, you know, 1,734, whatever the number is. And you're thinking to yourself, this is beautiful. I can work with this. I can track this. I can, you know, divide this into calories, fat, protein, carbs, and I can run with it. Guess what? You got baloney. Those equations are so inaccurate. And this was something I remember learning this in school and just being like, what? Like, this is the best we can do. You know, these equations are inaccurate 50 to 80% of the time. That is a huge margin of error. In my opinion, it's kind of like barely worth our time to even use these equations because, like, what are we doing, right? And here's what we need to remember. Ultimately, one, these equations are not taking into account our body composition, right? Like, if you have a higher degree of muscle versus fat, it doesn't matter if you weigh the same amount. People with more muscle are burning more calories at rest. So they're going to need a higher estimate of calories versus somebody who maybe doesn't ever exercise, spends a lot of time sitting at their desk, sitting on the couch. Their body composition is going to be very different than yours and mine, where we're working out a lot. We're going to have more muscle mass than the average person. We also need to consider genetics, right? Some people are just primed to have faster metabolisms. You definitely know people like this where you're like, holy cow, that person eats more than I've ever seen in my life, and they are so dang thin. That person would use the same exact calorie count and equation that you and I would use and would get this average amount of calories, but we kind of know in the back of our head logically, like, that person's eating more than, you know, the average person, right? We know they have a fast metabolism, therefore they need more calories. Like, that makes sense. And then similarly, you know, people who probably, you might be this person, you might be the person who eats a lot and can eat whatever and never gain weight. You might also be the person who feels like she like looks at an almond and gains weight, right? Like, there are also people who genetically are just going to have slower metabolisms. Another thing we need to factor in that no one is asking us when we're filling out these calorie counting equations is, how long have you yo-yo dieted for? Every single time you yo-yo diet, you are reducing your metabolism. You're slowing down your metabolism. So, you know, if I have never yo-yo dieted, I'm going to be burning more calories at rest versus somebody who has been going on yo-yo diets for the last 10 years. You have really done a number on your metabolism, it's going to be slower. So we can kind of see just from that how this calorie counting equation is so inaccurate. And then we need to also factor in the fact that every day is different. Depending on the temperature, when it's colder, you're burning slightly more energy, slightly more calories. If you're a fidgety person who tends to, you know, you're sitting at your desk, but you're kind of like wiggling your foot, or you're a person who is at a standing desk and is kind of like walking around a lot and just like person who moves a lot, you have a lot of those non-exercise calories that you're burning off that equation probably isn't capturing very well. We can think about things like hormone shifts. So depending where you are in your menstrual cycle, you might be burning more calories as your body is preparing to slough off the uterine lining to prepare for your period. So we don't take into account, what if I did a heavy lifting session yesterday and I really ripped apart my glutes and I have a lot of repair going on today? My metabolism might be a little faster. I might need a little bit extra energy. I did a long run yesterday. I might need a little extra energy. This equation cannot capture the nuances of day to day. Even if you're not lifting or your temperature is not being, you know, changed to these extremes, you might just have certain days where you're burning more energy for, you know, reasons related to your nervous system. Like, this, the body is so complex. We cannot just put it into this beautiful little box that we want to put it in. We want to put it into the calories in, calories out box, but it just doesn't work that way. I almost want you to think about metabolism kind of like a sink. So like, if I am running water and my sink is working, my drain is working, I can just keep running water and it's going to go down the drain, right? The food is going to go down the drain. So if you have a metabolism that is working properly, you have been eating lots of protein, lifting, using progressive overload, you have been, you know, being very intentional with non-exercise movement, going on walks or standing and, you know, really kind of being intentional with your movement. We're taking good care of our metabolism by eating lots of protein and fiber, vegetables, fruits. Then that sink is going to be, that drain is going to be open. We can eat food and our body is going to take that food and it is going to use it to create our healthiest body. Now, your healthiest body might not look like the body you wish it looked like, okay? That's the caveat here. Your healthiest body might not be a body that we see on Instagram, revered on, you know, TV. And I know that sucks. We have lots of episodes about body grief. But today we're just talking about like calories, okay? But my point is you don't have to be freaking out about controlling the food. You don't have to be freaking out about counting anything. Because if you are doing a good job taking care of your metabolism, we turn the sink on, the water's running, it goes down the sink, there's no clog. Okay, so we can almost think of that water as the food you're eating. Your body knows what to do with it. Versus if you're a person who has not really been paying attention to nurturing their metabolism, you have been yo-yo dieting, eating 800 calories and then binging because your body is like, what the frick are you doing to me? Then you're like eating so many calories and you're going back and forth, gaining, losing weight. Your metabolism is getting wrecked. You're clogging the drain. Okay. You're not thinking about exercise. You're not thinking about, am I strength training to take care of my metabolism as I keep getting older? You're not thinking about stress management, sleep. You're not taking care of yourself. That drain is getting clogged. So now it does not matter if I'm barely eating, right? I put the sink on like a little trickle and I'm like, okay, my drain is clogged. My drain has a partial clog, but I'm only running my sink at a trickle. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go get my hair done. I'm fine. You're going to come back and that sink is going to be overflowing because you have a clog. You left the house, you were eating a trinkle, right? You were only eating a little bit, you're only running the sink at a trinkle, but eventually it's gonna clog and it's gonna overflow. And this is because your metabolism is broken. It doesn't matter how little water you're putting in, the drain is clogged, okay? I'm like, is this making any sense? I think it is though. So we want to unclog the drain by taking care of metabolism. My point being, calorie counting equations are inaccurate. My point being, we need to really focus on how we're taking care of our athletic body as the priority rather than worrying about how many calories am I eating? Am I eating this perfect amount of food? The other thing to think about when it comes to calories is we are kind of relying on these nutrition labels, right? Like you look at your peanut butter and you're like, oh, okay, like I'm getting 200 calories and 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. Is that even true? Right? Like we kind of don't know. Like these equations, these nutrition facts labels are not always accurate. How your body uses the food is going to vary from person to person, right? So some people might really need the fat from that peanut butter and they might really be very efficient about absorbing those calories versus somebody else. Maybe a lot of those calories don't really get assimilated the same way. So we just want to kind of realize like this whole calorie counting, tracking food situation, not very accurate, quite stressful, quite cumbersome, creates a lot of drama, creates a lot of stress around food, anxiety, food rules. I mean, it's like a lot of risk for not a lot of benefit. Okay. Especially since we know, even if you have been quote unquote successful with tracking macros, tracking calories in the past, and you've lost a bunch of weight, we all know, that method of weight loss is not sustainable. And in 95 to 98% of people, you gain the weight back and potentially gain even more weight again, because of that yo-yo dieting's effect on metabolism, at the 2-year mark. So, you know, whenever people are like, oh, it worked in the past, it's like, dude, for something to work, it has to work forever. It can't work in the past. If it's not still working, then it failed and it's not your fault. Obviously, we just talked about all the reasons why it's not your fault, okay? So calorie counting, macro tracking, not effective for long-term situations. These calorie counting equations, not super useful. However, I do want to talk about like, is there a potential benefit to it? And I think for some people, it could be interesting. It could be data to be looked at. Now, I think these calorie counting equations, right, are a good place to start to get curious about, hey, let me log a day of food or 2 days of food, see what I'm eating, see the approximate calories I'm taking in, protein I'm taking in. Again, we know it's not going to be super accurate, especially since I'm hoping you're not like weighing every single thing you're eating. I don't want you to ever be that extreme. That is just not necessary. But we are kind of taking a look at what we're eating and then we're comparing it to that equation. So if it is really way lower than that calorie counting equation, I think that's a red flag. Like, I am not eating enough. Okay. Like, I think that's a really a good place to start. Okay. Like, I am not eating enough. Like, this is a very big discrepancy. Okay. Something to think about. We need to talk about Lagoon pillows. You guys, as a pregnant woman who has noticed that sleep has gotten way less comfortable, I cannot tell you how grateful I am that this pillow is in my life. What happened? How did I find this pillow? Basically, I took a sleep quiz. I was taking the sleep quiz. I was like, this is weird, but I took it and I was recommended that the Otter pillow was the perfect fit for me. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. They send me the pillow and here's the thing. I did not know this about myself, but apparently I am an Otter girly. Otters and I get along just fine, let me tell you right now. This pillow keeps me cool. I run really hot and it has gotten even worse since pregnancy. But this pillow just keeps me nice and cool even when the heat is blasting in my house. I'm able to customize the amount of fill. So as a pregnant woman, some weeks I want it to be harder and more supportive. Some weeks I want it to be a little bit softer and fluffier. So I take out that fill. It takes like 5 seconds. It's really easy and it just makes it extra cushy and comfy. And I think the thing that I really love about this pillow so much is I was constantly alternating between really hard pillows and really soft pillows, trying to find the right support for my neck. You know, as an active person, I like to lift weights and I feel like my neck is always getting stiff. I think between like lifting and sitting at my desk, my neck is not a happy girl. Well, guess what? Since the Otter pillow, my neck is so much comfier. And so all this means is that I now get a way more comfortable night's sleep. I am way more rested when I wake up in the morning, and I feel so much more energized for my runs, for my workouts. And I am so obsessed. I really want to know if you are an Otter girly too. I would love for you to head over to lagoonsleep.com. Lagoon is spelled L-A-G-O-O-N, lagoonsleep.com. You should take their sleep quiz. You should see what pillow is the perfect fit for you. And let me know on Instagram if you're an Otter girly just like me. If you decide you want to try the pillow out, see if it's the right fit for you, use the code SERENAMARIERD, that is one word, Serena, S-E-R-E-N-A, Marie, M-A-R-I-E-R-D. And that code, Serena Marie RD, will get you 15% off your pillow. So give it a whirl. Let me know if you are an Otter girly just like me. But really, the other thing that I think is more important to think about is like, what is my body doing? If I track my calories and protein and I figure out this is on average what I'm taking in, this is what I took in over 2 days on average. Asking yourself, how do I feel? Like, am I feeling fantastic? Am I getting stronger? Am I noticing so much energy and no sugar cravings? Am I noticing like I feel awesome? Or are you noticing, hey, this is like, I feel tired. I feel tired every day at 3 o'clock, or my workouts suck. Like, I am really bonking or struggling in the middle of my workouts. I cannot hit my paces. I'm waking up in the middle of the night hungry, or I'm having really bad anxiety all day long. I feel really depressed during the day between meals. Like, we can kind of start to look at like biofeedback, how you're feeling. And I have a whole episode on biofeedback that you can check out. So I want us to just kind of get curious about like, if I am tracking my intake, and again, I'm kind of assuming this is not intake that you're forcing yourself into. So I'm not saying like, put yourself on a diet and see how many calories you're eating. I'm saying like, you just eat whatever you want. You're eating per your hunger fullness cues. You're not restricting anything. You're just getting curious about like, what do I eat when I'm just like allowing myself to eat? And then getting that information, I just think it's interesting. We can look at it and compare it to that calorie counting equation. I think the thing that's even more interesting though, and has a little bit more data to say, is like potentially more accurate, is protein intake. So kind of taking a look at like am I eating enough protein for my level of activity? And if you are a runner, I should have probably done the conversion for you because I know this in kilograms. So assuming you know your weight, we can divide your body weight in pounds by 2.2 to get your weight in kilograms. If you have no idea how much you weigh, please do not jump on a scale. Just use an estimate. Be like, I think I weigh blah, blah, blah. Okay. And divide that number in pounds into by 2.2. Some of you guys already know your weight in kilograms. Coolio. Us in the United States, we are... I don't know why we do things differently, but we do. Okay. So we have our weight in kilograms, and then we need to multiply that by either 1.2 to 2. Okay. So if you are a 5K runner, if you are newer to the fitness world, if you are doing more of a lower mileage type program, lifting less heavy weights, multiplying that weight in kilogram by 1.2. If you are a more extreme athlete, you are lifting marathon training or half marathon training with lots of speed work and lifting, you might be closer to that 1.8 to 2. Okay, so we are kind of figuring out, when I look at my protein intake, am I eating enough protein? Am I hitting that 1.2? I would say to 1.8 is more common. 1.2 to 1.8 grams per kilogram protein. And that can be really interesting. I think that's more relevant than calories, to be honest. Like, when I'm focusing on my athletes, I'm really looking into how do we hit enough protein during the day, and the rest of everything else kind of falls into place. Because when we're eating enough protein, we are supporting a healthy metabolism, we are supporting healthy balanced blood sugar, we are supporting having enough of those building blocks. Protein is literally like, think of bricks, building a brick wall. That brick wall is your muscle. We are literally building more brick walls, more muscles in our body. More muscles equals higher metabolism. This is how we repair after years of yo-yo dieting. This is how we ensure running is a sport that breaks down muscle unless we are, one, eating enough, and two, eating enough protein. Okay? This is how we unclog the sink. Along with other things. We need to sleep enough. We need to eat enough. We need more fiber. But this is part of that equation. And so I think this can be really helpful. Of if we're going to track anything, I honestly want to say, like, the calorie thing, getting curious, am I eating way less than that calorie counting equation estimated for me? Okay, cool. That is an indication maybe I should try eating more. And then looking at your protein intake and getting curious about, am I matching this 1.2 to 1.8 range grams per kilogram, 1.2 to 1.8 grams per kilogram? If you're just like, I don't want to do math, this is so not my thing, this is not why I listen to your podcast, Serena, that is also perfectly fine and perfectly cool. In which case, I want to ask you, like, are you at least eating 100-ish grams of protein a day? And it should maybe be closer to like 120, 130. Like, are you getting protein during the day? And I don't care if you're a plant-based athlete or not. This applies to plant-based athletes. You guys can still get lots of protein. Okay, that's something I teach you in like an athlete boot camp. How do we focus on plant-based protein and still hit our protein goals? I don't care who you are listening to this. If you are an athlete, if you are an injured athlete, we're still trying to eat 1.2 to 1.5 grams per kilogram of protein. We need protein to support that sink, to support metabolism, to support recovery. So I would almost say, if you're going to do this equation, if you're going to do this experiment, not equation, of asking yourself, am I eating enough? You might be wondering, like, which calorie counting equation should I use? Dude, I don't even have a good suggestion. Like, that is how bad the literature is around which equations athletes should use to calculate needs. There's not even like a go-to equation. There's all these different equations and, you know, they all have different degrees of error. But it's almost like maybe not even worth your time to worry about that and just kind of worrying about, am I eating enough protein? So what foods have protein in them? Our meats and our fish have protein in them. And when we are kind of thinking about eating protein, we don't want to just say to ourselves, oh, I had protein. Like, I had a chicken finger. I had protein. No. We want to eat enough protein to, one, hit that goal of that like 1.2 to 1.8 grams per kilogram per day, maybe 2 grams per kilogram per day. And also we want to kind of be strategic. So we want to be kind of thinking about, am I hitting 20 to 30 grams of protein at each meal in some snacks? Okay, because when we are able to hit 20 to 30 grams of protein at 3, 4, 5 meals a day, we are able to stimulate something called muscle protein synthesis. And this is this fancy schmancy term for creating muscle. So even if you are just sitting your butt on the couch, you have not moved 1 inch in a week, but you have been consistently hitting 20 to 30 grams of protein 4 or 5 times a day, you are stimulating muscle creation. Maybe not as much as if you lifted some weights or went running and then did that, right? Because when we damage that muscle, it's called hormesis. We damage that muscle, we rip it apart because we're lifting or we're running, and then we eat enough calories, we eat enough protein. We have to do both of those things, not just one, to support repair. That muscle grows bigger and stronger than it was before it got torn apart or damaged, quote unquote, with exercise. And that's how we boost metabolism and build stronger muscle. But even if you're not doing that, you're just chilling on the couch watching Gilmore Girls, which is 100% what I'm about to do. When I'm done recording this podcast, I'm going to jump on my podcast. Ugh, oh my God, I cannot talk. I'm going to jump on my treadmill and I am going to watch Gilmore Girls and run some miles. I'm tapering before my half marathon. I constantly have to pee and I really can't deal with going outside right now and having to pee. I just want to like be near my bathroom. Being 20 weeks pregnant is a real issue. I should probably record a whole nother podcast about that. Anyway, clearly I have pregnancy brain. We are talking about protein. So we want to make sure that we are eating enough protein that even if we are sitting on the couch and not exercising, we are still stimulating the creation of new muscle, okay? Simply because we hit 20 to 30 grams of protein. So this is something, again, I teach you in Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp, but if you are going to take your palm and you look at your palm and the thickness of your palm, the size of your palm, and you eat that amount of fish or meat, you are hitting that 20 to 30 grams of protein. You are stimulating muscle protein synthesis. Protein powders, often 1 or 2 scoops will get you in that 20 to 30 grams range. My plant-based athletes, I generally say make a fist. That's about a cup. We're eating a little bit more than a fist worth of beans or even something like tofu. We're usually getting close to that 20-ish grams range. Something like seitan, we can really kind of choose more of that palm-sized portion. And we're hitting that amount. We can get creative by pairing things like edamame and hemp seeds and nutritional yeast to kind of start hitting those protein goals. And even if you eat meat and fish, like personally, I love meat and fish, but I like good plant-based meals too. I think it's fun to mix it up. And plus those plant-based meals are giving us lots of fiber, which is also an important part of this unclogging the drain situation we're thinking about. So really my point is, I think, as I really did not plan out this podcast, if you cannot tell, I think what I would say is it can be useful to look at the equation if it's not going to trigger you. If seeing calories and numbers makes you freak out right now, hold the phone. Don't worry about it. Don't do it. Okay. It is something that I look at when I work with a client. Like I will calculate their estimated calorie needs and I'll kind of take a look at like what are they eating approximately when they do their food recall and just see what is that discrepancy. How big is it? It's almost always a big discrepancy where you are under eating. I'm not going to lie. Okay. And then but the bigger thing, the more important thing is, am I eating enough protein? And so even if instead of tracking calories, you're just literally writing down each time you eat protein that day and estimating how many grams you're getting a day, is it 100 grams or is it less? If it's less, you got work to do. Is it 120 grams? Is it 150 grams? Right? Like that's really what we're looking for, that like 100, 150 grams a day to really kind of make sure that we're eating enough to boost muscle protein synthesis, to support a healthy metabolism. And really that is something that I think could be worth tracking. I think that is actually potentially worth your time. Now, this is only worth your time if you are somebody who doesn't feel like you're going to become obsessed with this. If you're going to become obsessed with this, I think it's helpful to reach out to a dietitian. I'm just going to be honest. Like I'm trying to give you the tools to do this on your own. And like, you know, at this point in the podcast, I think you're kind of realizing this is causing me stress and anxiety, or this is really helpful and I'm taking notes. Okay. So if you are looking to work with a dietitian to kind of help you with this, I am actually no longer taking one-on-one clients right now because of my pregnancy. So you can always DM me. I'm happy to send you to some colleagues, but this is literally what I'm going to be teaching in my Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp course that I'm going to be releasing here on April 1st. So I am super excited. This is a brand new version of Eat Like an Athlete where it is actually self-paced. You can do it on your own time, at your own pace. You have lifetime access to it once you purchase it. And the modules are short and sweet. All the resources are in one place. It is like going all in on understanding sports nutrition without getting wrapped up in the calorie counting and the minutia of all the math, because I think that's where we get really perfectionistic and type A, and we actually make nutrition way more complicated than it needs to be. If you DM me the words, what should we make the keyword here? I got to write this down so I don't forget. If you DM me the word golden metabolism, like the Golden Bachelor, golden metabolism, I will know you listened to this episode. I will put your name on the wait list. You will be the first to know when the doors open on April 1st, and you will get a juicy discount to be one of the first people to snag a spot in the new version of Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp. If you are somebody who's like, I love that it's self-paced, but I really would love to chat with you, Serena, and ask you questions. The other really exciting announcement here is that I am actually opening up the membership. So my membership previously was only available to people who have worked with me one-on-one or in the group setting. We are going to be opening the membership to anyone who is joining Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp. That way you can ask questions in our amazing Slack group. Slack is basically like texting with all the athletes who have gone through this program and this experience. And you'll either get me answering your question, maybe one of your fellow female athletes who have been on this journey as well. But the Food Freedom Athlete membership community is going to be available for you to join when you join Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp. So, I mean, I don't know. If you are somebody who is super busy and you just want help and you want to be told what to do and you don't have time to show up to one-on-one calls or group calls and watch replays, this is for you. Like this is just so easy, so simple, and you also are still going to get that support from the membership. So I am so excited about this announcement. I am so excited about the new version of Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp. Just DM me the words golden metabolism, and I will know that you are looking to glow up that metabolism, glow up that bod, and make some changes and really start to fuel your body like an athlete, really learn how to eat like an athlete this year. I am super excited. Even if you decide not to join Eat Like an Athlete, I hope today's podcast was eye-opening. I hope it kind of helped you figure out, one, calorie counting equations, probably not worth my time. They sound like trash because they are inaccurate 50 to 80% of the time. Really, my focus should be on learning how to listen to my body, which, by the way, is something we really focus on in Eat Like an Athlete, is literally having a tool to kind of decide, am I fueling in a way that is supporting taking care of my body? Am I treating my body like a teammate? Really kind of simplifying what is important when it comes to sports nutrition so that we can make sure that you're doing a good job. And I am so flipping excited to hopefully see you inside Eat Like an Athlete Bootcamp here soon. But again, even if you're not, I hope you learned something today. So thanks for your time. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dear Runner Bod. If you enjoyed what you heard, remember to subscribe and make sure you share today's episode. Also, if you're looking to download a free 3-step guide to love your runner's bod, then head to serenamarierd.com. Can't wait to chat with you next week.